May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this special day. This day where we come to celebrate you. This day we come to celebrate your work in this world. This day that we come to celebrate Luke Daniel Rentschler in your hands. That your love for him is so real. Your love for us is so present. Many of us had wonderful Thanksgivings and celebrated you and celebrated family and friends, and we're grateful for that. Many of us maybe got stuck in trying to be thankful because right now life doesn't look very good. And so, Lord, we pray for all of our hearts. We pray that in the good we celebrate you, and in the bad we celebrate and trust in you. When things don't look promising, when we're not certain of what you're doing, may we trust you and in your goodness where you have us. We thank you again for this time. We thank you for what you have for us. And we pray that you would just bless us today, that we may not be the same people that we were when we came in here, that we entered in with thoughts and concerns and challenges and struggles, and yet may you have your way with us. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. The scripture is one of my favorites. I'll do my best to let you out in about an hour. It's wasn't that funny? No, it was. Thank you. Genesis chapter 1. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every good plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about relationships, about how to have better ones, about how to respect and love one another. A couple years ago, I was asked a question. I said, "How does your church help support relationships? How does your church support marriages?" And I said, "Oh, you know, we reference it. We talk about it, you know, and whether it be on Sunday mornings or, you know, we definitely encourage it in Bible studies and stuff." And they said, "Okay." They said, "Do you have a plan for your church when it comes to someone getting married? If someone said, 'Hey, we'd like you to marry us,' would you say, 'Oh, we'll see you a couple times Sunday and maybe we'll have you in a Bible study,' or would you give them a plan?" "Oh, well, I gave them a plan. We'll have 3 dates we'll meet, and then we'll get together over this for the logistics, and then we'll go over this. Here's some homework I have. I want you to read a book together," and we go through a plan. And they said, "Well, what's your plan to help support people that are not in crisis, and they're not just getting married?" It came to be like this, if you will. Most churches, you've seen this maybe before if you've heard me talk about being married and relationships. Most churches, their plans are couples in crisis is what they focus on, counseling. And again, it's important. We need to be there when people are in crisis. And then 5% weddings and 5% everyone else. So in other words, maybe like one Sunday a year, they talk about marriage. They talk about relationships. One time they might recommend something to do together, but it's nothing that's really intentional. And I shared that when I was asked that question, I decided to flip it. That whether you're married or not, this message is going to relate to you because you either, one, know someone who's married, or two, might want to get married one day. And so how can you help to have a better relationship? How can you help them have a better relationship? Every one of us needs that encouragement. Every one of us needs to have that flame fanned on. 5% still on weddings. 5% on crisis. Not because I don't think crisis is important, but I want to be proactive and not reactive. And so what would it look like if we really did just give our very best? What if marriage wasn't just about being happy? What if Christian marriage, I should say, was more about what God wanted to do in me, in us, and through us? I believe marriage is a lifetime of God shaping. That he works in us in ways that he's chosen to only work through us. Something different about this us. What's your best us? How are you becoming what God intended? Because of the person you said yes to, the person you journeyed with. I think about the very first time I met Leslie. We were in youth group, my wife, in case you didn't know that. We were in youth group, and we were put together on a team. Now, it's memorable for me, not so much for her, and that's okay. I was a freshman, and, you know, like most boy freshmen, was pretty awkward looking, and so she probably had a lot to forget, and that's okay. But the reality was, I remembered just this connection. I didn't, not in any, like, dating, or, I mean, she was cute, that's for sure, but it wasn't anything of anything else. And then over time, we started to hang out. And it was usually because, well, I lived really far away and she had a car and I didn't. You get what I'm saying? And she was kind and gracious to put up with me. And I think, I don't know if I've ever asked them this, but I'm afraid to ask them this. I'll just say this, my in-laws. I think that was God's way of them accepting me because I'm not Cuban and they are. Don't get me wrong. They love me. They love me like I'm their own son. Absolutely. I think they'd love me more, though, if I was Cuban. But that's just between us. But here I am in this high school, if you will, routine. And we had church in the morning, like us. And we had youth group on Sunday nights. I know we have youth group on Wednesdays. And hope you, the middle school and high school kids will be there. But so here we are on Sunday nights, and we're doing our thing. And I was allowed to come over and hang out, which I think was impressive because, you know, with my ADD, I can be a little, whoa, hey, what's going on? And they could just say, he's done for, we're done. And yet they still let me come back. I was in charge of making the Sunday salads. Not because I ate salad or probably was any good, but that was the thing I could do without like burning myself, I think. I think that was just, anyhow. But I look back. I don't just tell you that to fill time, I promise you. I say that because it's amazing when you look back what God is doing in ways we have no idea. Now, marriage to you might be a word where you go, pain, trouble, struggle, not what I expected. I get that. But maybe that's not what God intended. Why is it that when we know something is good and right, we all know it? It's like ingrained in us. We see it and we're like, that is good. And yet sometimes we've had a bad experience or sometimes we just don't know what to do or where to turn to and we just get stuck. Let me encourage you in this. If you're stuck, let me say, oh, wow, that's bad. Let me try that. If you're stuck, you're in a perfect place for God to give you a breakthrough. In fact, you can't have a breakthrough unless you are stuck. So don't miss that. Recently, some of you know that I went on a retreat. I want to read to you something they said on marriage. And it was something that I can't say enough good things about. And it's not because I'm paid to be up here to say that. I mean, it was a beautiful gift for my wife and I. And something they said really got my attention. I just want to share that with you. They said, every relationship has three cycles. Now, some of you might know which cycle you're in. Some of you might not. That's okay. Don't worry. Romance, we're attracted to one another, which is good. Okay. Then disillusionment, fancy way of saying we start attacking one another. Things once attractive can become annoying. I can give you many, many opportunities or many illustrations from my marriage of how my wife is sometimes annoyed, but we're moving on. It's not because she doesn't love me. It's just because it's not what we expected. There's this, again, romance and disillusionment. What is it about that? Why are we disillusioned? Obviously, culture has given us many different examples of marriage, some good, some not so good, some unrealistic. I know, shocking. But they make great Disney movies. Then there's a third cycle, and this is a cycle I pray that all of us would reach, and that's joy. True acceptance of one another with God sharing life together. True acceptance. They're real with one another. There's an openness. There's an authenticity. There is a surrendering of what we think and what we're going after. It's a picture of the good news. Marriage is to be a witness to the rest of the world. You might be like, yeah, I think you're stretching it, sir. Just wait with me. Wait with me. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Okay, wait a minute. What's that mean? How can that be? That can't be right. Wait a minute. No, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. He's instituting marriage here. Fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, be caretakers. Serve it. Create beautiful things. Do amazing things with what I've given you. And then he says something that's really crazy. He says, everything that has breath, I'm giving you for food. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. He's made us in his image. It's very good. He tells us to go into the world, to be fruitful, to multiply. And then he says this, it's not good to be alone. That doesn't mean that if you're alone, you're in a bad place. He's talking about all humanity, that we've been made to be in relationship with one another. Scripture, in one, book of wisdom, Ecclesiastes, talks about this. A cord of one is easily broken, but a cord of three strands is not. And that together, we're stronger. And it's amazing how when I serve Leslie and when Leslie serves me, when we serve and really seek the best for each other, how much stronger we are. How much better parents we are. How much better witnesses to the world we are. And yet many of us have got this understanding that marriage is about our happiness. I put in the title in the bulletin that growing us up, that I think God uses marriage to grow us up in him. And here's how it's different as a Christian marriage. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about what the difference that Jesus gives us. As we die to ourselves, surrendering to the call that oneness brings, that we grow up in him as we die to ourselves, that this invitation to Jesus flips things totally upside down, that Jesus says, it's not about seeking your own happiness, it's about serving and experiencing my joy as you serve one another. What? That doesn't mean it's to suck the life out of you. No. But in the surrendering, you may find life in a way you never had before. I'm going to try and pull this together. Some of you are kind of shaking your heads, and I get it. I get it. I understand the pushback here. So we're at my parents' for Thanksgiving. Now, growing up in my household, my stepfather had an amazing ability to be able to watch the football game while he slept. Now, as a kid, not really getting into sometimes the sports thing, if you will, my brother and I would kind of slide up to the channel quietly, right? And it wasn't like the little button, nothing. No, it was a, you remember those? You know, because I was the remote. Anyway, and so we'd go and do as quietly as we possibly could, and you hear this, and it was like, oh, he's still asleep. And we'd get to the channel, we'd maybe watch 5-10 minutes, and all of a sudden he'd wake up for some reason. He's like, whoa, what's going on? I was watching a game. We put it back. And we're like, duh, you were sleeping. Anyway, so this week we're there, game's on, and the grandson hits a button, and boom, flips it, TV goes off the game, The whole family's inside there. And he's like, oh, it's okay. Go ahead, play your game. I'm like, what is going on here? I talked to my sister, who that's her, his mom. I go, I'm like, what? And he's like, I know. I said, okay, that wasn't. It came up during our conversation. We were razzing him and giving him a hard time, if you will. The change was when he surrendered his life to Jesus. I was 17, a senior in high school, and he went on this retreat called Emmaus, Vita Cristo, you might have heard of it. He went on this retreat, and he heard about God's love, and it changed him, caused him to be a better man, caused him to be a better husband, caused him to be a better dad and a grandfather. Not everyone has to go to Emmaus or Vita Cristo to have that, but sometimes we miss it. We just don't understand God's economy, that what he has ordered is sometimes, usually always, so different than what we think is common sense. Let's go here, because this isn't confusing. The Trinity. The Trinity is a major, major doctrine of Christianity. It's that God is known in three persons. He's one, but he's known in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That in that there's this oneness in three. That the Trinity, if you will, plus you as a couple, 3 plus 2 equals 1. That there's this unity and oneness. Not that you lose yourself, but that you become all that God ever intended. Because of his work in you, because of his work in your us, and because of his work in this world. We are designed to reflect our glory, no, his glory, that's right, his glory to the world by our witness together. One of the ways I try to really encourage people is to remind them, I'm getting the hint, I got it, okay. One of the things I try to remind people is that it's not something that just is on cruise control, right? You might use cruise control on the highway, which is great, until there's a Miami Hurricane game last night, and I'm driving up, and they closed all the lanes, and I'm like, what's going on? Is there an accident? No, nope, it's just because. Anyhow, so here I am, and we're down to like 4 miles an hour, yes. I'm like, my car doesn't even idle at 4 miles. Anyway, so here we are going through. It doesn't happen like that. Our relationships need attention. They need intentional love, commitment, admiration, aspiration. So here's your homework. If you have a special loved one, if not, then this is your homework to give to someone else, or find that special someone and go for it. Okay. This is something that I think can have a drastic input in your life, a drastic impact, excuse me. The 6-second kiss. Before you leave, give them a reason to come back. Share 2 minutes with what you're looking at for the day, except for Jacob. Jacob, you're not allowed to do this. Share for, he's like, dang it, he called my name. 2 minutes, what you're looking forward to in the day with each other, and then give a 6-second kiss. If you need a timer, count a timer, that's fine. But give them something to remember. Make it a priority to show them, I'm not just doing my thing, and you're doing, we're not married single, we're not doing a single life, just kind of roommates. We're in this together. And life is going to be busy at times, and there's going to be those times, those seasons where it's, whoa. But try this for a month and see if most of the men are like, I like this. It's a good homework assignment. That's good. That's good. Try it. See what God does in your heart and your life. Now, if you don't have a special someone, I don't have a homework assignment for you. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. Maybe pass this on to someone else. Encourage them. Don't be afraid. What would it look like if you had that joy, that third cycle, if you lived in the joy of being together, that God wanted to do something in you and through you so the world might know of his love, and he did it and gave it to us in this thing called marriage. Interesting. What would it look like? A picture of the gospel. God's goodness to the world. Gospel is an old word that means good news. The good news of Jesus working in this world, in our lives, right here, right now? Who doesn't need good news? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for helping us through the romance is wonderful. It's beautiful. And we love that season in the relationship. But Lord, you want us to experience joy. But sometimes, in fact, I'll say this, every time, to experience joy, we must let go of what we think the better picture is. Let us let go. Let us surrender so that we can be a picture of what you're doing in this world to others. Not because we're perfect, not because we believe all the right things, not because everything is good, but because you are doing a great work in us. Give us a joy. Give us your peace. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, we also remember those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who aren't sure about tomorrow, those who are still recovering from the hurricanes, those who are still looking for loved ones from the fires. We pray that you would bring your peace and your presence in a tangible way through the church, through your Spirit. We lift up your church, your body, throughout the world, that we may be more like you, doing your ministry, doing your work with you, partnering with you. Help us, Lord, where you've called us to be. Help us to submit and surrender to you and to one another, that we may be your hands and your feet wherever we may go, wherever you lead us. We remember, Lord, our leaders. We pray for our nation. We pray for our world. We pray that you would give them wisdom beyond their years, favor. We pray for humility. Help us, Lord. Bring your kingdom. As you taught your disciples to pray, when you taught them to pray your prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.